Loughborough, Sunnyside, Currambong, New South Wales, Australia, February 19, 1899. Dear Brother Loughborough, I have received and read your letter. I was very thankful for the loan you sent in the same mail. We received $100 from a sister in St. Louis, Missouri. This money will help us a great deal just now. Last Thursday, we received a cable message from Dr. Kellogg saying that within 60 days he could raise $5,000. We were just then planning how we could obtain means to complete the school building, which is partly erected. W.C. White went to Newcastle to try to borrow some money. He was disappointed there and went at once to Sydney. On Thursday, the telegram came from Dr. Kellogg. We wrote at once to Elder Daniels and W.C. White to set their minds at rest. The interest in Newcastle is wonderful. The Sabbath has been presented to the people, and 1 week from today, 25 will be baptized. I shall speak in Newcastle next Sabbath and Sunday. We are trying to raise money enough to purchase an old stone church in Wallsend, 10 miles from Newcastle. The roof is gone, the floor is partly gone, and the windows are smashed, but the location is excellent. I shall go to see it. We think we can obtain some means from the new believers. If so, we shall not have to use the $500 you sent, but can let the sanitarium have it to obtain some facilities for the branch office in Newcastle. The medical missionary work has taken well with the people in Newcastle. Some of the leading men in the city are enthusiastic over the subject. Both Dr. Caro and Dr. Rand will spend some time in Newcastle. Dr. Caro gives health lectures there once a week. People from outside are calling for a cooking class. I think this will be held in the tent. I wish we had a cook who could do justice to the work by showing the people how to make good bread and other articles of food. Instruction in medical missionary lines is just what the people in Australia appreciate. In every place where camp meetings have been held, this subject has created intense interest. It is allied to the third angel's message as surely as the right arm is joined to the body. I said that 25 had taken their stand. As many more are convinced, but business prospects hold them back. The work has extended from Newcastle to Maitland, and in the towns between Currambong and Newcastle, there are many interested ones. Some weeks ago, I received some money from California, and you cannot tell how glad I was to get it. I sent £50 to Brisbane that they might make a start on their meeting house there. The weather was so rough that they could no longer hold meetings in the tent without imperiling the lives of those who attended. Those who had newly come to the faith helped by purchasing the land. They are all poor people, but they did what they could. If we could have obtained money from any source by borrowing, we would have done so, but there was no money to be had. The building is now going up, and we are so thankful for the sake of the people and the workers there. I had pledged £5 toward this building, not knowing how I could raise that much. My workers have not been paid for last year's work. I can only let them have what they need for their actual necessities, and no more. The second £100 of the money I received from California, I placed in the hands of Elder Daniels, to be used in building bathrooms for the sanitarium. John Wessels wrote me from Africa for counsel regarding his future movements. I said in reply, "Come to Australia, for the way is open for our work." I told him to telegraph us at once regarding this matter, that we might know what to do. If he can come soon, we shall not invest our money in building bathrooms which will have to be moved, but will secure a site for a sanitarium. The house now used for a sanitarium is in no way appropriate. A new tent had to be purchased for the work in Newcastle, and I gave toward this £10 of the money from California. There is now only a little left, which I shall invest in putting a fence around our church here. It stands in a large, open pasture. Not $1 of this money have I invested for my own personal use. I would not have called for the money invested in the mission school in Chicago had it not been necessary. But while in Illinois, we came to a deadlock. I was let out to pledge $1,000. I had to hire this money and pay 7% interest for 2 years. Just at that point, His Satanic Majesty was in the management of my books published at the Review and Herald office. Those at the head of the publishing work there would handle neither great controversy nor patriarchs and prophets, the very books God had signified the people must have at once. They promised me faithfully that after certain months they would handle these books, but they failed to keep their word. When the great controversy should have been circulated everywhere, It was lying dead in the Review and Herald office and Pacific Press. Brother Jones urged me to accept less and less royalty on these books, promising solemnly that they would push them to the very limit, but they did no such thing. The word of men was not as they will someday realize the word of God is. Then the word came to me, "Take your books into your own hands." I tried to hire money, but could not, and the light given by God for the people was hidden in the printing office. The inward working of this matter was presented to me. The men who told me to my face that the canvassers would not handle my books were themselves arranging matters so that they should not handle them. They told me falsehoods, and I was in such distress of mind that it was impossible for me to sleep. For 2 years I stood thus, trying to counterwork those who were working at cross purposes with God. From the time that their double dealing was presented before me, I had no confidence in the men who composed the book committee. They were a fraud, and their endeavor was to get all they could from authors by underhand schemes. You may ask, will this work be arrived at in the investigation being made? Never, as it was. We cannot now see the injustice, the swerving from right, the intriguing methods, the overbearing, dictatorial tone assumed toward those men who were superior in intellect and moral worth to those who were lording it over them. I had to stand and see men triumphing in their evil work. The Lord said, "I will punish for these things." Then came the word, "Make no large concessions. There are those who will not appreciate any sacrifice you might make. You must maintain principle. Take your books out of the hands of those who are not right with God, for they will harass and perplex you. The Lord desires you to be a steward of means. He will be your counselor. Trust not in man, nor in the word of man, for they will fail you. The Lord would not have you brought in straight places, for this will prevent you from doing the work I have commanded you to do. You are not to be placed in the position those who are reproved will be gratified by your dependence. You are to lead out. You are not to be led. The Lord is a sufficiency. I do not want means to gratify myself, but that I may lead out, that I may have something to invest in the work that started in new places, and that I may help those who are cast down and oppressed, who need to be helped to help themselves. This we have done in many cases, and the Lord has made us a blessing. In regard to the $1,000, as things are, I do not want it. Should I make this donation, it would open the way for others to give. And a large sum was donated by a man and his wife, who the leading men thought had nothing. So that donation meant several hundred dollars. When the mission house was sold, and I was casting about in my mind if I could get some money, I thought, why could not those in Illinois transfer that donation to this new field, I might say, new world, and help us here as I helped them at great inconvenience and expense to myself? We certainly needed help from some quarter. That was plain to me. We were in the ABC of R, and those in America had buildings and facilities that we had not. This is my explanation. Had I not understood by your letter that the board agreed to the proposition, I should not have called for the means in as urgent a manner as I did. I thought it had been overlooked. I have been instructed that after, in a place, the work essential for the advancement of the work has been done, after by self-sacrifice and urgent labor, facilities have been gathered, and the Lord has established the work, those in that place should give of their means to help God's servants who have been sent to new fields to go over the same ground, beginning at the ABC of the work. Those living where the work has been placed on a good foundation should feel themselves bound, even at considerable self-sacrifice and self-denial, to help by transferring to those in need a portion or all of the means once invested in their behalf. Thus the Lord designs that His work shall increase. The talents given His servants are to be doubled by being put out at interest in gifts and offerings and influence. This is the law of restitution on a right line. One portion of the Lord's vineyard is worked and brings in fruit. Then another portion is taken up. It is the Lord's plan that the unworked part shall receive help from the part which has been worked. This should be done with cheerfulness. Thus the work becomes a success. The principles of the law of God are practiced. The work moves forward solidly and with doubled strength, and the workers are enabled to proclaim the third angel's message and the second appearing with power and great glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.